Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
What am I to do? What am I to feel? Oh, Vicky Bias Beckwith. Let My Soul Surrender. You can find out more about Vicky by going to her virtual home, weletitbe.com. Welcome. Good evening. Good night. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good day to you wherever you happen to find yourself at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And you make a difference. When you embrace the change, you make a difference. When you surrender to the change, you make a difference. When you give thanks for the change, you make a difference. And we're here to remind you daily, moment by moment, to embrace what wants to be birthed. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for saying yes. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D, and you can too. Rev D's taking a nice deserved rest. And as she rejuvenates and replenishes, we want to ask you, what are you willing to release for what you want? Or simply, are you willing to let go so you can have a different experience? Sit back and enjoy Rev D as she takes us deep, deep down into our soul. You are listening to Living in the Yes on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
One of my spiritual teachers and mentors is Brother Ishmael Tete, founder of the Ethereum Mission in Accra, Ghana. Wonderful, wonderful man. And I love the way that he always reminds us and says that anything that we ever need to know, we find in nature. This is like nature is his teacher. And I find that sometimes in highly industrialized societies like what we have in the United States, we can get so far away from the natural processes that we kind of forget how it is that life itself works. This notion of what are you willing to release in order for you to have what you want, when the topic was first presented to me, what are you willing to give up in order to have what you want? And when I was asked, my feedback about that, I said, let's change the word give up to release. And let's bring that up within the conversation, why I made that switch from what am I willing to release to have what I want versus what am I willing to give up to have what I want. That notion of giving up comes with the implication that the thing that I'm giving up is actually mine. That somehow or another it belongs to me, I have possession of it, or at least control. Somehow or another it is a part of me, attached to me. And this notion of giving up often comes with a sense of loss, regret, sometimes remorse. And in order to have what it is that we want, and I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint now, if we look at it in terms of things that we're giving up, then that thing that we fear that we're giving up, we have such attachment to that we're going to wind up just bringing it back into our experience again. I want to make that really clear. If you just give something up, but you really feel like you're giving it up, like in a sacrifice kind of way, then the energy of that, you somehow or another are going to recreate again, because there's attachment to it. you're somehow identified with it. It may not look exactly the same way, but there'll be something. If I think that I am giving up a certain habit for my mate or my partner, you know, I'm giving up, running around with my friends late at night. Okay, well, then it'll just turn into something else. Maybe I'm not running around with my friends late at night anymore, but maybe now I am doing some stuff on the internet. Okay? If I think that I am giving up my peace of mind or my ability, not my peace of mind, my ability to speak my mind, and I'm being, you know, pushed and pulled in a certain direction, I'm really angry and I feel like I'm not able to express that anger, well, I may give up giving you a piece of my mind, but you know what? If I'm really angry and upset, it's just going to come out sideways. So I don't cuss you out, but I'm cold, I'm chilly, I'm subversive, I'm passive-aggressive. I'm still not in alignment with you, and I'm still not showing you any compassion. So we want to watch that. That notion of just, quote-unquote, giving up. When you say, what is it that I want to release, that makes it a little bit different. Because when we release things, we're recognizing the fact that perhaps it's something that I shouldn't be holding on to the first place. Notice the difference of that. I'm going to release this versus I'm going to give this up. When you look at nature, for example, I don't think the tree, when the wind blows, it's the fall now, coming close to the winter time. I don't think the tree is going, you know what? I think I'm going to just, give up these leaves. I think I'm going to give up these limbs. I'm not so sure that is exactly what happens. I think there is a release. If there's a release, there's a letting go. There's a sense of cycle. There's a sense of seasons. And if we look at nature, there's always a sense of what's next. Nothing is static. Nothing stays the same. Everything is always in growth, in transition. This too shall pass. I don't think in nature it's a question of giving it up, but I think it's a question of release. I remember one of the affirmations that came to me years ago that I use here at my ministry, Inner Light, struck me really deeply, and it's become part of my, like, internal mantras. The affirmation was, the seed that clings to being a seed will never fulfill its great purpose in life. I'm going to say that again. The seed that clings to being a seed will never fulfill its great purpose in life. In order for the seed to fulfill its great purpose, it has to stop being a seed. It has to go on to its next form of evolution. And such as it is with everything in life, that there's a release. The wave comes and it hits the shore, and then it goes back. The clouds are moving through the sky. The young become the old. There's this, wherever it is that you are, that gives way to something else. Too often, we try to have it both ways. We want to heal, we want to grow, we want to transform, we want more, but we don't want to change anything. It's as though we're constantly trying to add on. But we look at nature. Nature doesn't just accumulate and hoard. Nature doesn't hoard. Our body temples, we ingest, we digest, we assimilate, we eliminate. We don't hold on to everything that we take in. Body releases. After it's used, whatever it is that it needs, it releases. everything in nature works that way, where it gets whatever it is that it needs, and then it releases, it lets something go. Too often, we identify with what we have. And I'm too afraid to release this thing because somehow or another, even if I don't want it, it's a part of my identity. I could be in an abusive relationship, and I don't even want to be in an abusive relationship, but so much of my identity is tied up in being your woman or whatever that I can't see the forest for the trees. I don't want to get beat up every day, but in my mind, I can't release this relationship because I can't see myself in anything else other but this relationship. I can't see how I can take care of myself. I can't see how I can provide for myself. I can't see how anybody else could love me or whatever the story is that I have going on in my head in order for us to have what we want. Everything has to stop being whatever it is in order to be whatever's next. Everything is in a constant state of metamorphosis. It's like the caterpillar and the butterfly. I don't care what it is. If you've got a bare limb starts sprouting leaves, then it has to release itself as a bare limb. Everything that happens in life brings about some kind of a change. The difficulty that we have is that as human beings, we form real attachments, and we have certain ways of being, and we think that somehow or another we can just add on, but that isn't what happens, that the way that we manifest in life is mind, body, and spirit. So the biggest challenge that I think that we have in this realm of manifestation, having what we want, is the consistency to get into alignment with all of it. So I want to be sober, that's what I say, but then I still want to hang out with these friends, you know, who are drinking and clubbing and doing drugs. That's not going to work. It's not going to work, you know. I say that I want to be successful, but there's a part of me that's not willing to make goals and sit down and you know, make a commitment and start putting my resources in the direction of what my intention is. That the things that we have to release aren't sacrifices per se, but they're things that are out of alignment with where we want to go. And there's no judgment in that. I want you to really catch it. The seed that clings to being a seed can never fulfill its great purpose in life. There's nothing wrong with being a seed. But if it's going to fulfill its purpose, you know, the acorn becomes an oak tree. If I'm going to be an oak tree, I'm a orange seed and I'm going to become an orange. You know, I'm rose seedlings and I'm going to become a rose. Then it's inconsistent. It's out of alignment to be an oak tree and still try to remain an acorn. It's just out of alignment. It's just inconsistent. So if there's certain things that I say that I want to have, then I have to move in the directions that create the fertile soil for that. I have to do the things that are commensurate with that, the things that support that, the things that will sustain that. So often we wind up at cross purposes with ourselves because we won't release the things that are no longer in alignment. And that could be anything. We're coming up on this holiday season now. So I say that I want a really good relationship with my children. Okay, I say that's what it is that I want to have. But what I'm not willing to release is the idea of them as children. Okay? They're my children, okay, but they're 25, 30 years old right now. I'm going to have to release the relationship that I had with them at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and relate to this adult offspring of mine. Okay. So I say I want to have a good relationship with my children, but maybe to have the good relationship with my children, I have to release something that's been getting in the way. Can I hold on to those fond memories? Yeah, I can hold on to those fond memories, but that ship has sailed. That day isn't going to be again. So I have to find a way to reconcile that within my own being. I have memories of them that they don't have. I can't force them into my memories. I have to find a way to just be at peace at that, but to meet them where they are now. You know, the same things that are true on an individual level are also true on a collective level. In order for society to be what it says that it wants to be, a nation to be whatever it is it says it wants to be, or to have whatever it is that it wants to have, there's some stuff that it has to release too. And some of the drama that we're seeing right now, and I know in recorded shows I shouldn't always talk about current events, but some of the drama that we're seeing right now in the protests around police brutality with Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, with Eric Garner, in Staten Island, that in order for us to be the democratic, just, fair country, society that we say we want to have, there's some stuff we're going to have to release. We're going to have to release the racism. We're going to have to release the supremacy. We're going to have to release a lot of the things that are actually part of the founding consciousness of this nation in order us to be the nation that we say that it is that we want to be. But it does mean we're going to have to release something. It does mean that we're going to have to make some changes. It means we have to take a look at the ways in which we are inconsistent, the things that are outmoded, outdone, lost their utility. What do we really want to be? What do we really want to have? And how much in alignment are we willing to be to have it? I remember, I'm telling on myself now, and God knows, I don't know why I'm telling this on the air, but it is true. This was many, many years ago. And I was having a conversation with somebody, and this was a relationship I had no business trying to get into, I'm telling you now. And I won't say all the reasons why, but I shouldn't have been trying to get in this relationship. And the person said to me that they were worried that being around me was kicking up their addictive issues. And at the time, I didn't know a whole bunch about addiction. But I was insulted because I thought that they were saying something negative about me. And I'm protesting and whatnot. And they said, no. It's not that you're bad. It's the contrary. You're good. You're really, really good. And I can always tell when I'm in addictive mode by how willing I am to be out of integrity to have what I want. I will never forget that definition of addiction. How much am I willing to be out of integrity to have what I want? It's the flip side of this same question, that when we get into addictive stuff, how much am I willing to be out of integrity? How much am I willing to release my values? How much am I willing to release my high standards or the things that I know to be the truth in order to have this thing that I want? The principles work the same way, whether we're using them for positive purposes or negative purposes. But at some point along the way, if we really want to have what we say what we want to have, then there's a place of consistency that we need to come to and a willingness to stop being that which keep us stuck, stagnant, unable to make the transformation, old consciousness, status quo, maybe comfortable, maybe our identity. If we really want to move, and I'm defining have what you want to have now in a positive manner, in a positive light, something that is consistent with your higher purpose and place for being, then there has to be a part of you. There has to be a part of you. There's got to be a part of us, because don't let me sound holier than thou. There has to be a part of us that is willing to release some stuff so that we can actually have what it is that we want and what it is that we need. I know it's time for a break, but I want to just end with this visual image. There's a line that comes up a lot in my spirit letters, these prophetic messages that I have. Some are published in a series called Letters from the Infinite, published by Sounds Truth. And this line comes up, emptying the storage bins of your heart. It comes from the song, I'm Available to You, where it says, my storage is empty and I am available to you. And this is a recurring theme, empty the storage bins of your heart. It's like, what is a storage bin? But just a place that you hold things that you're afraid that you're going to need, you know, later. And all these things, what are you harboring in your heart? And this one letter was so beautiful. It said, you keep worrying about getting rid of the stuff that's in the storage bin. I didn't tell you to get rid of anything. I just said, empty the storage bin. That's all. Just empty it. It's the same thing what I'm talking about now. Just release it. Like, just pry your hands off of it. I'm not telling you what to do with it or get your hands off of it. Then it made this analogy, and it was so beautiful. It says, if I tell you to empty the drawer, like the storage bin of your heart, just empty the drawer. Just take the drawer, dump the stuff out. That's all I'm asking you to do right now. I didn't tell you what to do with the stuff in the drawer, nothing. Just empty it. And the voice went on to explain, you can't see the drawer for all the stuff in it. You don't even know it's a drawer. You can't see the drawer. You see the stuff. It says when you go into your closet, you don't see a closet. You see the stuff in the closet. It says you're a container. You're a vessel for me. I want people to just see me, see you as me. If there's really anything else that needs to go back in that drawer or back in there, I'll put it back in there. Yeah, then it's not your problem to worry about what goes in or out that drawer. Just empty it. Just empty it so you can be available to release stuff, to make some room for what it is we're supposed to be. That note, we can take a break.
Yes.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sofira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. SeekerFest, a music-filled celebration of spirituality, philosophy, science, and religion. Here is Christine Joel to tell us about SeekerFest.
SeekerFest is a festival that celebrates the convergence of spirituality, science, philosophy, and religion. It's all about celebrating the many paths of universal truth through art, music, spoken word, and TED Talk-like presentations.
What inspired you to create SeekerFest?
What inspired me to create SeekerFest was really a recognition of a lack of a space for people who had an obscure faith or a different spiritual path, or didn't realize they were on a spiritual path, people who were seekers. They didn't have really a place to find fellowship and to seek fellowship.
SeekerFest sounds like a great place for people with different belief systems to celebrate their differences and what they have in common. Well, for more information, go to theseekerfest.com. That's theseekerfest.com.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D. We're talking about releasing, making room, letting go. Next, Rev D answers a question on forgiveness. How does forgiveness relate to releasing?
Oh, that's a big one. Oh, I love that one. I actually have people do an exercise of what is their payoff for not forgiving? What do you get out of not forgiving? And that's what you have to release. We think it's something about the other person or what they did. But when it comes to forgiving, that's not what we have to release. What I have to release is whatever I get by not forgiving. self-righteousness. Not having to take ownership or responsibility, feeling superior, above, or feeling like a victim, the powerlessness, then I don't have to be accountable for making a change or, you know, going in some kind of new direction. Just what exactly? And here's the thing, is that it's always, how can I put it? It's like scales. It's like a teeter-totter. Or sometimes I describe it as a continuum. One thing is up, the other's down. So that's what you're trading. When my joy goes up, then what I'm releasing and trading is judgment and blame. When I'm in judgment and blame, what I have now released is joy. I'm trading judgment and joy for blame and resentment. It's what else could you be doing, you know, with that energy? And there comes a point when not forgiving just costs too much. So when I ask people, what's the payoff for not forgiving? And there's all these things that they list. And I say, but what's the sacrifice? Literally, like, make a list. What are you losing by not forgiving? Well, I'm losing the connection. I'm losing the closeness. I'm losing my sense of power. I'm losing my... Okay, so is it worth it? Is that a viable, healthy trade? Is whatever you're choosing instead of forgiveness really a viable alternative, sustainable, and life-fulfilling? If we're not choosing forgiveness, what are we choosing? If we're not choosing to forgive, then we're choosing to stay stuck. I'm choosing not to grow. This is my story, and I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to learn nothing. I ain't going to see nothing else. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to this. I'm going to stay frozen in time. It's like that story of Lot's wife. Say, don't look back. She looks back, and she turns into a pillar of salt. Because looking back all the time keeps us crystallized in a form of consciousness. It's like, okay, you can choose not to forgive, but how's that working for you?
I got a question. I don't know if I want to add this question to what you're talking, especially around forgiveness. Because I feel like forgiveness as well, releasing goes in alignment with forgiveness.
But what would you say?
Yeah, because they're brothers and sisters. They're twins, actually. Forgiveness is releasing. Because you were really, I mean, you've spoken to it, but you were saying some things last week. Now, I want to tie all of that in, you know, to somebody who's saying, I'm okay with releasing, I'm okay with forgiving myself, but how is releasing going to solve the issue of the world? There's still injustice. People don't care. People, you know, young black men are threatened and all this other stuff. People are still being bullied. Rape is still going on. Women are still not being honored. But, you know, I get this releasing. And I remember, now I'm making up questions now. I remember last week you said we got to resurrect, but... Rev D, there's too much going on in the world, and I don't see how my releasing of forgiveness is going to change anything. What would you say to that?
Well, first off, it's not understanding the nature of release. That when I say release, I'm not just saying that you as a person need to release. That there's reason why all these devastating things are going on. There's collective consciousness that needs to be released. That the release isn't just on us as individuals. There are places that we have to go as a society you know, part of the reason why all this is going on is because we never ended slavery. We haven't released the consciousness that allowed for the so-called democracy to be based in slavery to begin with. There's some old paradigms we collectively need to release. But here's where it gets insidious and about the our part, is that what has to die is the question of superiority. But it doesn't matter who's superior. What has to change is the question of inferiority and superiority. So if I'm getting holier than thou, and it doesn't matter whether I'm demonizing white people because, you know, I think they're the devil that's come to steal all the joy of the black folks, or if I'm a white person that's demonizing black people because, you know, I think that they're here and freeloading and, you know, messing everything up or whatever, like my racist ideas are, it doesn't matter who's thinking what about whom. It's the fact that there's no love. The problem here is that there's no embrace. You know, the problem here is that there's no sense of oneness, and nobody's willing to go that extra step to practice an agapeo love. When I think about Nelson Mandela, or I think about Martin Luther King, or I think about Gandhi, or I think about any of the great civil rights leaders that we knew just, you know, in the span of, like, our lifetime, that they all practice a forgiveness. See, and what this release does in the forgiveness is that it keeps me from being stuck in anger to the place of disempowerment, where all I'm doing is spending my time reacting to you. I'm not being proactive in creating the world that I want to see because I'm so busy reacting to you, putting all the power in somebody else's hands. When you don't release stuff, it's because you're afraid to, and you think it's bigger than you are. There's the problem. Releasing it doesn't mean it's going to go away. When I say you've got to release it, I'm not saying you got to walk away or pretend like it doesn't exist. What I'm saying is that the attachment to anger, the attachment to righteousness, the attachment to judgment, whatever that is going to get in the way of healing, growth, and transformation. That's all. The anger and the resentment will just perpetuate. It'll get passed on generation to generation. And you have the same people fighting each other. You'll have the same issues generation after generation after generation. If you want change, you got to change. You can't have change with no change. We want change, we want everybody else to change. Change means change. Somebody's got to stop doing this dance. I tell the story all the time. It's the white man spitting on Martin Luther King Jr. You Martin Luther King Jr.? Yeah. Spit on it. King takes the handkerchief, wipes off his face, wipes off his suit, gives the handkerchief to the man. I think this belongs to you. See, that's release. I'm not going to take on the weight and the burden of your sickness, of your sadness, of your anger, of your grief, of your spiritual amnesia. I'm not going to let my body, my mind, my psyche get polluted with that. You're a holy person. You just don't know it. Do we have the courage to practice the soul force of agapeo love? Because if there's anything in these questions that's trying to find a justification for separation, then we're still part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're still trying to come up with some reason why those people don't deserve our embrace, it's no different. It's just dressed up a little differently, but it's no different. That's what King says, there's nothing any man can do to make me stoop so low as to hate him. Because when I begin to hate, I begin to be as low as the thing I'm hating.
This thin, cold life.
This thing called life.
It's not for wimps. And what I say is, a spiritual path is for gladiators. Oh, boy.
You know, you can ask anybody.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can ask women who've been raped.
Mm.
Kids who've been molested. People who've gone through war or famines or anything else. Holocaust and genocides and all kind of stuff that goes on in the world. You know, Anne Frank, you know, in spite of it all, I still believe people are fundamentally good.
Mm.
See, we don't forgive that we let people rob us of our hope, of possibility, of our dreams, of our visions. Why would you want anybody to win like that?
Yes, it's all about being the change you want to see. Release, 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 let go and be more. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson and LifeConversationsRadio.com. The topic today is, what are you willing to release for what you want? The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Rev D's back, and we've got a caller from California, Christina. How are you doing, Christina?
Thank you. I'm hanging in there, and I feel like tonight I was divinely guided to the show 100%, and I've been struggling with forgiveness. I have a partner that I've been with for 15 years, and I've discovered there's been infidelity and adultery. And I'm only getting part of the truth, and I think that there's fear, and that's probably why I'm only getting part of the truth. But I want to know how I can move forward not having all of the answers from my partner for myself, because I feel like if I don't go in and heal what's going on inside of me, then I'm going to have the same problem with whoever I'm with, so I might as well go in and see what's going on. And any feedback you can give me, it's so greatly appreciated.
Where are you calling from, Christina?
California this evening.
Okay. The emotions, the feelings that you're having. Have you ever had these kinds of things before?
I have. And I thought being single 11 years, trying to be independent on my own would help me make a better choice, but I find that I feel like the subconscious speaks louder than the waking state, and that the little girl inside of me is probably feeling unworthy of being loved and respected and honored. And so therefore I feel like I'm attracting people that will reflect that back to me until I change on the inside. But the problem is I really feel like the person that I'm with has a lot of potential to grow, wants to grow. We both have a hard time communicating, but what's wonderful is that my partner really has been, for the past 3 months, really trying to communicate. But I think the fear of revealing the complete truth keeps him from being completely honest. And I just want to know how I can move forward and not torture myself or him with reliving the agony of discovering infidelity and adultery, because I feel like there's maybe I'm not enough, and I feel like I know that I felt like that even before I met him.
Yeah. Yeah. First off, breathe. And your number one job every day is going to be to do that, is to breathe. When we get upset and we get anxious, we start breathing more shallow, you know, more shallow breath, and that mm-hmm. starts to make us feel anxious and like we're losing it. So,
yeah.
So first thing to do is just to breathe. Okay. The second thing that I'm going to ask you to do is a simple prayer. It's just two words, divine order. Okay, divine order. Every time you think about this situation, every time it comes up for you, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and say divine order. What happens in relationships is that we wind up with people who, for various reasons, are just the match that we need in order for us to work through the things that we have to work through.
I agree 100%.
It's feel, deal, and heal. Feel, deal, and heal. And even though some of the stuff that happens in relationships is real horrific, part of the reason why those things come up is so that we can feel them again, so we can deal with it. Okay? So now you have an opportunity to make a shift. Start making... This is internal talk, and however you pray, however it is that you want to do it, I will talk out loud to God. I just, you know, God and I got chats.
I do, too.
We got chats all the time. And it's like, okay,
I've been asking to look first through God's eyes, second through my own in this situation and all situations. Please let me look first through your eyes, second through my own.
Exactly. And you know what I like to say in terms of that, there are at least two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. And it's
right. So it's really important to own it. Like, I own my part in it, and I see it, and I can see how disconnected I was, and that I am just as equal in what I did to hurt him. You know, men and women disconnect in different ways, but
right.
I want to change it. And he had said something that I wanted to mention to you. He said, you do it with your mom. You do it with your father. You do it with your son, your adult son. You do it with everyone, including myself, and even with yourself. You say you forgive, but you don't, and you relive it, and you put everyone else through it, and it's like he's right, and I don't want to do that anymore to myself or to the people that I love.
You have a real...
Because it keeps us stuck.
Yeah, you have a real opportunity here now. You do. If you're willing to keep praying the prayer of divine order, to accept the fact that this is a holy relationship. It is a holy relationship. And it is a marriage. All relationships are holy. Okay, and it is a marriage. And that there's a dance that's going on, and there's a way that each of you is kind of like fulfilling your role, so to speak. Then now this self-talk that I recommend that you do, which is the way I start to get unstuck in situations like this, is where I tell God, okay, I'm willing to learn whatever it is that I need to learn. You have my full attention. We don't have to play this out through my marriage. Now, the reason I'm being really specific about that is that all of us have an Achilles heel. All of us have that place where it hurts the most. With me,
oh, yeah.
With me, it's relationships. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some people play things out in their body with their health. They play it out in their finances, you know, their jobs or whatever. I play my stuff out in relationships. Okay? And I call it holding it hostage, where I just say, okay, God, you have my full attention. I don't need to reenact a bunch of drama. Drama is optional. I don't need to do drama. Let me learn my lessons gently. I hadn't realized that that was actually a choice. We can actually claim that. Let me learn my lessons gently. I don't have to play out what I need to know in my marriage. And it releases the two of you from having to be the bad guy in your stories, from being the projections. And, you know, I can't predict what's going to happen for the two of you, but you may actually be able to get to the point of being able to even have conversations with one another about how you've been using each other for your healing. One of the most typical patterns is at some point in time, your mate stops being your partner and becomes one of your parents. And we wind up doing the same kind of games, so to speak, or whatever the stuff is that we did with our mom or we did with our dad, or we're playing their marriage
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just, it's like I remember, you know, my last marriage, I was divorced in of last year, and it in the beginning of last year, and I was like, when did I become my mother? You know, 16 years, like, when did I become my mother? And, you know, we do these things, and if there's any part of you that's just willing to settle in now and go, okay, this is playing out now, but let me not get stuck on the infidelity. Okay. Let me not make adultery like the issue. Okay. It is a catalyst now. I'm not trying to forgive anybody or anything, but if you make that the issue, you'll never get down to the bottom of what you need to heal.
Right. I believe that, and I just want to sort of set that aside and get to what my father taught me. To love a man means pain, and I was abandoned when I was 4, and I really feel like I'm reliving that now, because I never thought my best friend would ever do what he's done, or at least give me a memo and let me know, like talk to me. But I think that, in all fairness, he tried in the best way that he could, not condoning it, mm-hmm. but just saying that he did the best that he could, and I also see there was not a lot of communication within his family either. And I really love him unconditionally. I just don't want to be with somebody that's not going to love, honor, and respect me and cheat on me. Life is short. At the same time, I do believe 100% that there are issues that need to be healed that are coming up in this marriage for a reason. And I'm really paying full attention to what you're sharing.
If you're willing, I'm actually doing a class right now on healing family relations that ends tomorrow. And I encourage you to get in touch with me and give me your information. There's some handouts, you know, from this class I think might be really good. And at this point in time, one of the best things for you to do, and anybody who's listening, listen up, is, this may sound really crazy, but when you're thinking of him, don't think of him so much as your husband cheating on you. Okay, hang with me for a second now. What hurts us in relationships is the relationship that we have. That the moment that we start, this is my mother, you know, this is my sister, this is my husband, my child. No kid of mine would ever do something like that. What we get hurt by isn't just so much what they did, but our expectation that somebody related to us in that way shouldn't have acted that way. So we have this level of accountability and this kind of standard that we have in our mind. And if you really want to get to the bottom of this, there's a part of you that mentally, and you know, I don't know your husband's name, so I'm just going to call him David for right now. Okay?
That's my father's middle name.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So I picked a doozy, huh? Okay. So instead of worrying so much about, you know, I don't know how my husband could have cheated on me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, look, who is David? Really? You know, what is going on with him? You know, what are the choices that he's making? Why is he making these choices? And I remember a therapist of mine telling me years ago that people lie when they don't feel safe.
Exactly.
They lie when they, and it just, that really struck me. And then it kind of took it off of, okay, like, why is somebody lying to me? Or even, why am I lying to somebody? But why don't I feel safe enough to tell the truth? Why isn't this person feeling safe enough to tell the truth? You know, that brings a whole nother kind of like level to it all. And if there's any part of you that's willing just to step out of the self-righteous drama of it all, and you know, anybody can go there. But if you step out of it and just really look at him as a man, just a man who's struggling, who has issues, who's doing stuff that probably he doesn't even really want to do in terms of his own sense of internal integrity, and you say that you really don't necessarily want to know more, you know, about the infidelities and all the rest of that.
Actually, I do. I just want to make sure, I want to know everything so that I can ask him to ask himself and have time to really think about, you know, what is your belief system? What did you learn that a man is? And from whether it's your father, your uncles, your friends, neighbors, whoever was a role model in your life, and what is it to you to be a man? And also, when you do cheat, it keeps you from really being close to that other person. And that might be a way to keep someone out. You know, he may know it's wrong, but hey, I'm a man, and in society is like, well, we'll give him a pass, but not with me. Life is short. I want to be with someone that loves, honors, and respects me. But at the same time, the little girl inside is saying, I'm not worthy of being respected, loved, and honored because of what I learned from my father. So I know that we're equal in this. We are equal in building that invisible wall because we were raised separately and we're two individual people.
Then what I have to caution you on a little bit then is wanting something that you can't give back. Okay? If you want to know what has he learned, then there's a part of you. If you're going to hold out from that, then there's a part of you that's going to have to ask yourself that same question.
Yeah, I've been asked. I've been, you know, oh my gosh, I feel like I've been in college for the past 6 years. I went through something really horrific. I witnessed something metaphysical, paranormal, that really, I started out trying to find answers, but it turned into a healing journey for myself. And I think that, you know, that it was so necessary. You know, everything that I, even though it sounds morbid, there is beauty in the breaking. There is beauty and wisdom and knowledge in the pain that we suffer because it will help us to get to the truth if we have the courage to look at our own shadow side and be accountable for our part.
What I ask you to do at this point, in terms of what you have to release, okay, you can know whatever it is that you need to know. Release the idea that the information has to come from him.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You
can I'm already there.
Whatever it is you need to know, but he may not even have the capacity. He may not even have the capacity to be able to reveal as much as you want revealed. I can think about my own life. And there are times when I was cheating, my denial level was so high, I couldn't have done told the truth if you paid me to, because it was so twisted in my own head for my own sense of self-preservation. I couldn't even let myself know everything that I was doing. So, you know, it's like everybody's got their own growth, you know, and learning curve. You can be healed. That's all I'm saying. You can be healed. You can know whatever you need to know. God will tell you what you need to know and release the marriage. Release the marriage in the sense of God, I don't have to play this out in my marriage. I get it. I get that there's work that I need to do. I get it. I get there's stuff that I need to learn. I get it. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do the work. I don't need to have all this drama in my marriage as a compass pointing me to what I need to heal.
Yeah, I feel that 100%. It's amazing that today, after 3 months of this, that I came to that realize that maybe, just maybe, God was getting my attention, and he knew that the marriage would be the way to get me to focus on what it is that I need to change within myself.
Bingo. There it is right there. Yes.
And you just gave me the validation on that, and, you know,
you
because
I'm
attention. Suffering.
Yeah. You got my attention. You got my attention. I'm willing to do the work. This work needed to be done before I even met him. So
exactly. I actually told my husband that I felt this way before I even met you.
Yep.
I think I shock him because I'm very intuitive and I can see through his eyes at times, and I can see and hear things that I have no business knowing through him, and I don't want to judge him on that because I didn't ask It spontaneously happens, and I talk with him about it, and it actually helps me to process the things that I've hidden, the denial that I've lived in for, you know, so many years, and that when you make that statement, I want to just be happy. I want to be in joy in my life with whatever it is that I'm going to be doing in my life purpose. I just want to be happy. And when you say that, then things begin to surface in your life. It's almost like hoarders when you have all the newspapers stacked up room to room. You start going through the painful traumas that have happened. Whenever they began, one by one, they began to surface. And that's what's been happening the past 6 years. But I've been stuck. And I really feel like God uses him to deliver messages at times to me, because he says, again, you know, you say you forgive your mom and your dad and your, you know, a lot of other people and even himself and myself, but you don't, because you try to for a while and then you end up, it's like this cycle. You torture yourself and everyone else in it, and you're stuck.
Well, now you get a chance.
And I agree.
Now you get another chance. Now you get another chance. Life is a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
We keep
mm-hmm.
coming back to the same issues, but just another level. This is graduation. This is
mm-hmm.
a promotion. You get to come at it now with another level, new lens, new insights, new skills, new awareness. Apply what you've learned since the last time go around, and commit to having a real breakthrough this time.
Wow. I'm going to have to download this show. What is the name of this show? Because like I said, when I first started talking, I believe 100% that I was divinely guided to this show tonight. And I have my computer off. I'm on my phone. What is the name of your show so I can go back and download this?
Okay, host. Tell her what to do.
It is Living in the Yes with Reverend
Oh, I
Reverend
love that.
Johnson. Yes, and to get back to this, just type the website address you need is Life Conversations with an S, lifeconversationsradio.com. That will bring you to the page, and you can download it. You can listen to it as many times as you want. I suggest you download it and put it on your phone and listen to it when life shows up and like, ha, what are you doing now? And I will also say to you, actually two things I'm going to say to you. If you don't have Reverend D's book, The Sacred Yes, I strongly recommend you pick it up. It's Letters from the Infinite, Volume 1, The Sacred Yes, Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. You can pick it up anywhere they sell books. And there is a chapter, as Rev D shared earlier, Feel, Deal, and Heal. I can stand by and
approve
that message. Yes, it will change your life if you apply what's in the book. It will change your life. And I noticed you have the same area code as Rev D, so I don't know if you're in the same area, but you can check out Rev D's.
Monterey, Carmel, Pebble Beach.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'm in Santa Cruz.
Oh, my goodness, you're 28 minutes from my house. I love Santa Cruz. I'm always going there.
Oh, you got to come check us out.
We're very close.
At Inner Light Ministries in Santa Cruz.
So.
Oh, this is wonderful. I'm writing this down as you speak. Inner Light. It was Inner Light Ministries?
Yeah, Inner Light Ministries. Mm-hmm. And I'm Reverend Deborah Johnson.
Yep, I've written that down too. And
the website address is innerlightministries.com, right, Rev D?
.com?
Yes.
Yes.
Check it. Ooh, she took a deep breath. So you can find out more. And I tell you, you're being born again right now. A month from now, you'll be a different person if you apply what's in the book, if you listen to Rev D's message and apply it. That's all I got
to say.
Well,
thank you for calling, Dave.
Thank you, and could I listen in to the duration of the show? Because I really believe that living life for me, my perspective is helping others to get through it.
Good.
And I really do. I feel like I'm being called, and I really just appreciate both of you. and everyone behind the scenes that made this show happen tonight, because I really feel divinely guided.
Yes.
Thank you. God
thank
bless you.
You
guys.
All right.
God
bless you too. Today. Happy holidays.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Talk about an empowered way of moving through life. And Rev D, this is the last live show you're doing for 2014. Let's make that real clear. And as we send that into the ethers for 2014, you're going to come back in 2015 with new shows. I wanted to ask you if you can speak a little about Feel, Deal, and Heal as it relates to release, because we're actually close. I mean, it's almost time to release the show. But if we don't have time for that, I would just ask you any closing messages that you want to leave with the listeners as people move through their holiday seasons and all that comes up and some things that are yet to come up that we don't know about yet. Just so wherever you feel like going, Feel, Deal, and Heal, or just whatever's in your heart to share before we release the show.
Yeah, all I would say at this point is to remember you are first and foremost a spiritual being, perfect, whole, and complete. That healing is not fixing. It's not figuring out what's wrong with you in order to change it or improve it or to get rid of something. That healing is just the opposite. Healing is reawakening, discover, claiming, unleashing what's right in you. Mm. So the Feel, Deal, and Heal is don't run from the challenges, the circumstances, the grief, whatever it is that's up. Allow yourself to be with it and to glean the lessons so that you can reveal the truth in that which is positive about you. Not so you're in an opportunity now to fix all the bad things, but feel, deal, and heal. Feel, be in it. Just be present with whatever it is that's going on so you can unleash the spiritual power that is you.
And
I wish everyone a very, very, very safe and joy-filled Christmas.
Mm.
Please come back to Life Conversations Radio and take a look at this. You can go to my website, innerlightministries.com or innerlightministrieslive.com to look at archived things. I have a YouTube channel. There's iTunes as well, either under Inner Light or Deborah Johnson. There's lots of material, you know, online or through iTunes that is available, so that even though you may not catch this live, there's no reason for anybody to do without, because there's plenty of good spiritual sustenance that we have floating around out there in the internet ethers for your pleasure.
Mm-hmm. You said it all. Yes. All that's needed is pushing the application key. Yes.
Take care.
Thank you, Rev D.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And don't forget to check out the Play Experience on Thursday with Ambassador Sofera. The Play Experience is 7 p.m. Eastern. Truly love you. This is Bishop Carlton Pearson. Everything must change. Yes, we release you and enjoy the music. It's a prayer for your soul. Peace and blessings.
The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are
sure of. Except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Heart will heal, yes it will, but never much too soon. Yes, everything must change. Young become the old. Change. There are not many things in life you can be sure of, except rain comes from the clouds. The sun lights up the sky. Farmer's ground is plowed. People live and people die, yeah. But still we can revive. We must always try. Seasons come and go. Winter brings fresh snow. Little birds always sing. Summer beaches foam. You will never walk alone. Changes, changes, changes. Everything changes, changes, changes. Come on, children. I was born by the river, changes, in a little tent. Oh, just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Change. Sister, this isn't for you, because you know where you're going is better than where you've been, and the good news is that the bad news was all wrong. What's coming for you is better. I tell you, it is better. Oh my God, it is better. You don't have to worry about a thing. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about a thing. Why? See this. Rain comes from the clouds. The sun lights up the sky. And this music makes us thrive. Thank God for this change.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.